This is Sam English from the Syracuse Orange, and you're listening to the Defiant Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the Defiant Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group, featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my old Homewood homeboy, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. As the thrilling 2024 season rolls into mid-March, there's no spring break for us. We'll look back at the last week, discuss another new number one ranked team, and preview the weekend ahead, including a conversation with the old school do-it-all Syracuse midfielder Sam English, seeing the Orange get set to play the Delaware Blue Hens in a top 20 showdown on Saturday. Lots to get to, so Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, we have a new number one for, what, the third or fourth weekend in a row? Army West Point ranked number one this week in the IL media poll. First time ever Army's been ranked number one in men's lacrosse.
Congratulations to the Black Knights. They ascend to the number one spot after Denver was defeated by Yale last weekend in the Mile High City. And we talk about this quite a bit, the rankings, and I think most people understand it. But for the few that don't, it's kind of the law of the rule of law of society and intelligence and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people getting upset, you know, is Army really the best team in the country? Are they really number one and blah, blah, blah? You know what? They are this week because their body of work is impressive. They're undefeated. Number one, Denver lost. Number two, Johns Hopkins lost. They're 2-4. Army ascends to the number one position. They're there this week. That doesn't mean that they're going to be there forever. And quite frankly, even if the season ended today, would they be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament? Probably not. Because when you look at the metrics of RPI, strength of schedule, quality wins, head-to-head competition, they probably wouldn't have what it takes to be the number one seed. But I tell you what, they're the number one team in the country right now. They are a very, very good team. I guess the young people would call them a wagon. And they've got talent all over the field and are going to be a tough out for any team as they enter Patriot League play in full force. And they're going to be a hard out in the NCAA tournament. So watch out for the Black Knights. From in my opinion, they were my number one this week. And a lot of other people's number one, well-deserved.
Who are some of the players that impress you for the Black Knights?
Defensively, A.J. Pilot is terrific. You've got Jacob Morin in the midfield and Will Colletti at faceoff. Those are just three that jump out immediately when you watch Army play. And they're deep, they're experienced, and they have even more to offer than those three. But those three are top of mind.
We're looking at some of the midweek games, Dixie. We've got all blowouts. Is Tuesday still for the Hunter? We got Duke had a huge win over Providence on Wednesday. High Point, UNC, Richmond, Ohio State, St. Bonaventure, all with sort of comfortable wins on Tuesday.
In 2024, Tuesday has not been for the Hunter. It has been for the favored teams. If I'm thinking correctly, Army beats Syracuse in a midweek game, but really, is that an upset? And then last week, High Point led and was in contention with Georgetown up until the fourth quarter, and then the Hoyas distanced themselves from High Point. So there really hasn't been a ton of drama, let alone upsets, in these Tuesday midweek games. Tuesday, Wednesday midweek games. I think Duke handled Providence. As we're recording this on Thursday, Duke handled Providence last night. So in 2024, Tuesday has not been for the Hunter.
Looking way ahead, though, there's a great game next Wednesday night. Duke going up to the Dome to play Syracuse.
Wow. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. But look, let's assume both win this weekend. And then let's say Syracuse, quote unquote, upsets Duke. Is that really a Hunter-type situation? Maybe. considering Syracuse's recent history, but they just had a gigantic takedown of Hopkins a week ago. Probably the biggest win so far in Gary Gates' career as head coach of the Syracuse Orange men's program. But yeah, that's going to be a heck of a ball game next week. But we got a lot going on between now and then.
So we do.
Don't look too far ahead. I like where your mind's going though, because I think subconsciously you've accepted the fact that Duke basketball is not going anywhere in 2024. Go Heels. Clean sweep of the Blue Devils in 2024 men's basketball, outright ACC champions, Cormac Meyer, Ryan living rent free in the heads of the crazies. Hey, come on. You've had plenty of success as a Duke basketball fan.
Oh, so now you're a new Tar Heel fan. You got to
take the good with the bad.
You're a new Tar Heel fan. I'm getting it. Okay.
That is so true.
You've been a Tar Heel basketball fan about as long as Cormac Ryan has. Since the start of the fall semester,
I've always appreciated Carolina basketball, and I've always appreciated Duke basketball. But yeah, now I definitely like Carolina basketball a whole lot more than Duke. You're All absolutely right. I have no problem admitting that.
Well, you know I'm a giant hoops fan, and
I know you're a giant wait. Duke hoops fan.
That's basketball. I watch everything. I can't believe
Do you?
Some of the games that I watch are just. Like, you know, my wife's like, what is this? Is Duke
Denston
playing? I'm like,
versus Valpo?
No, I'm like, no, this is the ASUN championship game. This game really is important.
You know what, though? Those lesser known conferences, I found myself watching the CAA tournament.
That was Towson a good game.
Was in it against College of Charleston?
Yeah, College of Charleston.
I actually enjoy the quote unquote lower conference because those kids are genuinely jacked to go to a conference tournament, compete for a conference championship, and then to make the NCAA tournament. Like those are the kids that are going to bust your bracket this time next week and within 2 weeks. Like those. So I understand why you watch those games.
Yeah.
I'm watching on ESPN Plus. I'm watching Loyola women. They're having they had the most successful history in women's basketball, at Loyola in like a decade or maybe two decades or something like that. And they won their quarterfinal game earlier this week. The only reason I know this is because my son goes there and he's friends with these student athletes. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be watching that stuff. But, you know, you have a little bit of an interest in it. And then you kind of get wrapped up in the excitement that these kids have. You know, they're not going pro in basketball. Maybe they can go overseas or make a living some way, somehow out of basketball. But, you know, these are the kids that are the message in the NCAA, commercial. We have, however many student athletes going pro, and it won't be in their sport or whatever they say.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Since you brought up women's basketball, the local high school team, the Hammond Golden Bears, we've been following their girls team for a couple of years. A girl up the street is one of their star players. They are 26-0. They will play for the state championship tomorrow, Friday night. My daughter and I and my family gone to maybe 10 or 12 games this season. And there's a girl on the team, our neighbor, comes and helps out my 9 to 11-year-old girls team. So our team, our little girls team, has sort of adopted the team, and we had a get together last night at a Grotto's Pizza and streamed their playoff game, which was like,
oh wow,
really play. It was down in Waldorf at 5 o'clock. Anyway,
yeah, nobody's driving to Waldorf.
They play for the state championship tomorrow and at the University
of
Maryland.
That's great.
And we're really excited about that. All right, enough. Let's get back to lacrosse. Hey, we were talking about that Hopkins Syracuse game a little bit and how Syracuse got a good win. I had a chance to sit down with one of their top players, Sam English, to talk about that and a whole lot more. They'll be playing in the College Lacrosse Live event this weekend. And Dix, while we're on it, there's no better way to experience college lacrosse up close and personal than at one of the three College Lacrosse Live events this season. Be a part of the action for the Delaware and Syracuse game this Saturday, March 16th at Paul the Sixth High School in Chantilly, Virginia. Blue Hens and Orange face off at 2 p.m. in the first event of the College Lacrosse Live series. Adult tickets are $25, and for youth fans ages 12 and under, Only $12. $12. Weather's going to be great this weekend. It's been warm here in the Mid-Atlantic. Going to be a nice day. Get out there and see this game. Fans can also purchase tickets for a VIP hospitality experience that includes sideline access, food, and beverage. To learn more about the series and purchase tickets, visit collegelacrosselive.com to get your tickets today. Delaware versus Syracuse, where lacrosse is up close and personal. All right, let's bring in Sam. We'll talk about the way the season's going for the Orange and how they're preparing for this game. Our guest today is Syracuse midfielder Sam English. Grad student is a do-it-all midfielder for the sixth-ranked Orange, who will face off against Delaware this Saturday in the first of three College Lacrosse Live events. Sam, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Sam, the Hopkins win was a huge one for the Orange. You know, it sort of validated a lot of the Cuse's back talk that has been bandied around this year. What did it mean to you and your teammates to get a significant win like that over a big rival?
Yeah, I think it's massive. Like, yeah, for us, especially for that sophomore class that was so highly touted and so important for this program, who hadn't gotten a real big win that was important for them last year, and it came so close twice before that this year in the Maryland and Army games. And I don't know, just to be able to be up two goals or three goals or whatever it was in that fourth quarter and finish it out. And just, yeah, it was real important for us and just for our mind and our psyche, just to be able to know we're good enough to hang with any team and to compete for a national championship. And if it comes together, we can be really, really good. And I think it came together on Saturday night. And I think, yeah, just real important for our psyche and our guys and our coaches and for everybody part of this program.
You are running on the first midfield. You're playing on the wings on faceoffs. You're taking shifts on defense. And in the closing minutes against Hopkins, Syracuse is up by one goal. Each possession started with the ball in your stick. So I have a couple questions here. What is your job there? What's your role? Like, what's the coaching staff want you to do? And then also, how much confidence does it give you to know that your team and coaches trust you have the ball in those high leverage situations when the game's on the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's been like that confidence has been something I think I've dealt with, though, like had those issues since high school, and just knowing that I can be the guy to help a team win and to get the job done, and just knowing the coaches trust me with the ball in my stick at the end of the game is huge and super valuable for me. And I think the goal there is just to finish out the game and a guy stick who has been there and done it before, and making the right decision is always important. And I think finding Joey or finding whoever's got the goalie in that situation is important. And I think it's super beneficial that Coach Marsh can put his trust in me to close it out, and Coach O can trust me to get back on defense if he needs me to at the end of the game there. Yeah, it's been super valuable for sure.
So let's step back a little bit. You know, you played at Princeton for several years, All-American there, all Ivy League. But you and your classmates at Princeton had to make a decision. Do you want to continue to play? You get an extra year of eligibility. You couldn't go back to Princeton. We talked to one of your old teammates, Mike Gianfricaro, a couple of weeks ago. And he kind of talked about how it's not ideal. If he could, he'd love to stay and play another season at Princeton, but that's not something that's available to him and wasn't to you and your teammates at the time. So my question is, like, what were some of the factors that you considered when you had to make that decision, and what kind of weight did you put on some of those factors? Like, what was important, and ultimately, how did you end up picking Syracuse?
Yeah, I mean, there was a ton of things that were important. I think going into it, my thought process was I was gonna, like, I got two brothers playing at different places in the country, and I thought, yeah, like it would be a dream to be able to play with one of those guys. So that obviously played a super large role. And then just going into the portal it's a pretty chaotic. I mean, it's an incredibly chaotic experience, and you put your name in and you hear phone calls and texts from schools all around the country and different coaches, and you're on the phone with a different coordinator every day, and it's a little stressful, but it was easy to talk to coach Marsh, to coach Petro, to coach Gate. Like they made it easy and made it super just relaxing for me to be able to talk to those guys and to take the pressure off. And Coach Marsh had recruited me once before to Princeton, and getting on the phone with him was super familiar. And also having Jake Stevens, who was one of my best friends at Princeton and a guy that I went to Culver with as well, also from Canada. His decision to come to Syracuse also helped a lot. And just, I'm living with him now here, and he's been a super, super helpful through the whole process. And I hope he would say the same about me. And it was tough to tell my brothers that I wasn't going to go to either Hopkins or UNC, but I do think I made the right decision, and Coach Marsh and Jake and Coach Gate were super, super valuable in that process.
All right. So you make your decision, go to Syracuse, and you're one of something like 8 grad transfers mm-hmm. to Syracuse this year. But what's it like when you arrive on campus? Obviously, it's much different than when you're a freshman and you're going to college for the first time. How do you walk me through that a little bit, and how do you ingratiate yourself to your new teammates?
Yeah, so believe it or not, I think I would counter that point. It felt like I was a freshman, but a freshman that had, for whatever reason, experienced college for the first time. I felt like I didn't know anybody. I felt like I was meeting a whole bunch of new people, but at the same time had a different and similar experience. It was certainly weird, but I think Syracuse brought in 8 or 7 other grad transfers. So that also made it easier. I came in with a full class of grad right. transfers, one including one of my best friends at Princeton. Yeah. So that definitely made it easier. And then all the guys here made it so easy. They made it incredibly easy for all of us to step right in and to be friends, whether it's on game day or if it's on like a Wednesday night or whatever it is. It's Joey and Mike and Finn and all those O guys helped me out a bunch, and Will Mark, who was a grad transfer who's in my grade, Owen Hiltz, who I knew at Colt, like all these guys just helped out so much. And I'm living with a great group of dudes who are all transfers as well, and Mason Cohn and Zach Puckhaber. It's a credit to the guys more than anything else for just making that transition as easy as it could possibly be.
So we're 6 weeks into the 2024 season, and you just mentioned a few of the sort of known stars like Will Mark, Spelina, Owen Hiltz. If someone hasn't seen the Orange play this season, who are some of the unsung heroes that lacrosse fans need to know about?
Yeah, I mean, you could go through all the whole roster, but I think specifically on our team, like Jake Stevens is a known guy, but I think people would be surprised by just how much he does for this team, and whether it's ground balls, every goal he scores feels like it's like the biggest goal in the world. Every goal is massive. It gets the bench erupting. Like he's such an important player for our energy and the way we play. I mean, Mason Cohn is the transfer faceoff guy who's killing it, along with Johnny Mullen. Defensively, you have big Riley Figueres and Billy Dwan and Nikki Kakamo and CK, Caden Cole, who are like, he's been our biggest leader and our guy that kind of drives the boat. And on offense, you got, I think I mentioned a bunch of guys earlier and you mentioned some guys, but I think one guy that's really, or two guys that really stood out are Chris Muley and Luke Roa, who, I mean, Luke Roa had a game against Maryland and was super important there. And then Chris is just like, most teams that we played have tried to short him, and they've been out of it within the first quarter. And I think that's so important for us. And every goal he scores too is so big. I could go through the whole roster, but those are some guys that have been super important to us. If you haven't watched the Syracuse Orange this year.
You mentioned you have two brothers that play Division I lacrosse. It's unusual, but not uncommon to see like two brothers on the same team or two brothers at different teams? I mean, Mark Dixon has a son at Loyola and a son that plays at North Carolina. But to have three brothers, three siblings playing at Division One at different schools at the same time is pretty rare. So Brooks is a sophomore at Hopkins. Ty's a junior at North Carolina. How often do you get to talk to them during the season? You know, are you able to keep up on them? How's that go?
We chat all the time. I mean, it's typically not about lacrosse. It's typically about whatever latest movie they watched or other things that are going on. But no, it's I get to talk to them almost all the time, and I'll text them and I'll call them and just hear what how's life and what's going on, and if they have a good game, I'll let them know. And just Brooks broke his foot last or 2 weeks ago, I think, against Loyola, and had to get surgery on Wednesday, so I wasn't able to see him down in Charlotte for the Hopkins game, which sucked. And I think he did it right before the UNC game too, so he didn't get to play against North Carolina. But it's been a dream of mine to like just play with or play against one of my brothers or all of my brothers. And I got to play with Ty in Ireland a couple summers ago for the U21 Canada team, and I'll get to play him in a few weeks now. So, and I couldn't be more fired up, and it sucked I didn't get to play against Brooks this year, but it is what it is.
So, as you mentioned, you'll play against your brothers, their schools. How do your parents handle this? Is it fun for them? Is it nerve wracking?
I think it's a little bit of both. I get that question a lot, and how do my parents choose? I think my mom's got a pair of shoes with each of our logos on them and the different colors my dad customized for her. So, yeah. So yeah,
I've seen those
she's
shoes.
All over that, and she likes to. Exactly. So yeah, she like my, and then my, I got a picture the other day that was like my dad had a UNC hat on and a Hopkins shirt. I think it's stressful, but I mean, I think they want the best for us, and I think it may, honestly makes those games maybe a little easier to cheer for, because no matter what the outcome is, they're with, I guess, one son who's elated and happy, and but one who's down a little bit. But I think it excites them a ton, and they love getting down to games to every time we get a chance to play. And I think it can be stressful, but I think they love it more than anything else.
At least it puts like two of their sons in the same stadium at the same time. It probably makes it a little bit easier on travel.
Yeah, exactly. Makes it easier for travel.
Hey, while we're on the subject of your family, so your dad played professional football in the CFL for six seasons. A lot of kids are single sport specialties these days, but you and at least Ty, I know, played football. How much football was in your house as a kid? You know, how important was it for you to play lacrosse and other sports growing up?
I think less than maybe people would think. I mean, I loved watching. I love, like, I would go watch my dad play when and until I was like 4 or 5. I don't really remember it all that much, but I knew, like, I loved being at his games and loved watching. Like, I remember growing up, we had those vans with the like the DVD player in the back, and we had one of two discs. It was either like Step Brothers, the movie Step Brothers, I don't know why we were watching when we were like 12, but, and the other one was my dad's CFL highlight video. And so it would just always come on, and we'd always just sit back there and watch on long car rides or whatever it was. But it was less football in the house than you might think. It was a lot of, I mean, we grew up in Canada, not as many kids play football as they do in the States. And so we watch, or we play, everyone played hockey. I played hockey in the wintertime and played lacrosse in the summertime. And I think that was big for me. And just like whether it be coordination or stamina, and like all the best athletes in Canada are playing hockey. So you're just around good athletic people. And then I got to Culver and I decided to pick up football just because I don't know. I wanted to play. My dad wanted me to play, and I said, yeah, why not? So both Ty and I got to play for the Culver football team together, which is pretty awesome. And it was unbelievable. It was so much fun. And I think it's impacted my game a ton, just like the way my dad would teach me to run routes and beat defenders with leverage and whatever it may be. I think it's been super valuable and has influenced my game a ton. Yeah, I think, yeah, just whether it was playing basketball, everything turned into a fight in our household. And I think that competitive nature has come with me a long way.
I think my favorite part of that story is that you would watch your dad's highlight videos in the car. I almost think, like, if my kids and my wife, there's a zero chance that they would put on a highlight film of me, even if I was like an all-star pro player. It just wouldn't happen. All right, so last week you played in the Crown Classic down in Charlotte, and this week you'll play in the College Lacrosse live events, one of them that Corrigan Sports is hosting. The game will be in Chantilly, Virginia at Paul VI High School. This is your second one. You've played in some of these probably before. What are the best things, in your opinion, about playing in these marquee neutral site games?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton. Like, it's really cool. It's just like it's there's something that like you're playing that's like a little bit bigger than whatever the game may be, and I think just you bring different fans and different eyes to the sport, and like there's no college lacrosse team in Charlotte, or you had the Charlotte Hounds a while ago, but obviously there's no pro team there now, and you have a ton of different eyes on the game that and it's like. It's a game that needs to be grown and it needs to be seen by different people. And I think if it is, then it can be massive and super important to a lot of people. So, I mean, just, yeah, it's really interesting and whether, yeah, you're playing at high school, which we're playing on Saturday against Delaware, or this nice stadium, which we played on Saturday, it's something, it's cool to play in something that's like a little bit bigger than just this game.
Great answer. All right, so you'll play the Delaware Blue Hens on Saturday at 2:00. What have you seen from Delaware on film, and what do you think are some of the keys to the game for Syracuse?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's playing our game and playing as patiently as possible and dictating the tempo. And they obviously got some dudes, and they're a really, really good lacrosse team, and they have been for the last 4, 5, 6 years, and I like my Culver roommate for 2 years is their leading scorer right now, and Mikey Robinson, and just trying to keep the ball out of those guys' sticks is going to be important. Just not treating them like any other, just treating them like it's another big game on a Saturday, and controlling the tempo and playing our game as much as possible, I think are the keys to our success this weekend.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of quick hitter questions, rapid fire. Just first thing that comes in your head. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best. How cool is it to play in the dome?
10. I can expand. I don't know if you want me to expand on these,
please,
but
go ahead.
I didn't know. I don't think it was a 10 until the Maryland game. But I hadn't had like a real experience. I was me and Jake and all the other transfers and freshmen have talked about this before. But that Maryland game was one of the more like unbelievable experiences I've ever had in a lacrosse game, whether it's like the lights or like the sound or just like the it's just that place was rocking and was so unbelievable. And I've never played a lacrosse game in an atmosphere like it.
All right. I hope you found one, but what is your go-to campus food spot in Syracuse?
It's a place called Varsity. Like some of these guys told me about it, and we go there after practice typically. And there's this thing they call, like, it's called a burger melt, and it's like ground beef and it's basically a grilled cheese, but like with burger meat, and it's unbelievable.
What's your favorite road venue or stadium to play in?
Favorite road venue. I really liked Yale's stadium when I played there. I haven't played an away game at Syracuse yet. Technically, it's been in Charlotte, was the only neutral site game we had, and then obviously this weekend. But I think my favorite venue when I played at Princeton, I think my favorite venue I played at was probably the Yale Stadium.
Okay. What is the best food or dish that you make?
That I make?
Ooh. Yeah.
I think I make some good steaks. I think my roommates would probably beg to differ. I'm typically not the best cook in the house, but personally I like a Friday night before games, I'll go out to Publix or Wegmans or whatever it is and buy like a solid nice steak and cook it up, put it on the grill nicely.
Love it. So you're a grill master. I love it. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your favorite Syracuse team to go watch and support as a fan?
I think the men's basketball team is that, like, it's just like what I said earlier, the dome is a really cool place and you don't get that atmosphere with basketball anywhere else. And those games are always electric and fun. And I think they got a big one coming up today. So we'll all be watching that. But I think, yeah, probably the men's basketball team is my favorite, my go-to.
What's the best thing about Burlington, Ontario?
There's a ton. I think I love like Spencer Smith Park. It's this downtown Burlington area that's beautiful. It's got this nice pier and there's good ice cream shops all around and this place called The Coop, which it's not amazing. Me and my family always go. It's this good chicken spot. And then we'll walk down on the park and they got the light show during Christmas time. And it's a pretty cool, it reminds me of home more than anything else.
Favorite Taylor Swift song?
You Belong With Me is probably my favorite. I like my high school karaoke, like our bus karaoke song at Culver was You Belong With Me. And I think so. It's probably my favorite Taylor Swift song for sure.
All right. Who is the funniest guy on the Syracuse lacrosse team?
The funniest? There's a bunch of guys that you could say. I mean, I think I'm with Matt Wright a ton. And he's a transfer from UNC and from Canada. And he's hilarious. He's like an expert at Mario Kart. And we've been sitting here and ripping Mario Kart. And he's like finishes first place every time. And he knows all like the tips and tricks. And I don't know if he's trying to be funny, but to a lot of us, it's pretty hilarious. And then Michael Leo is also pretty funny. He's always pulling pranks. He's always trying to be devious, trying to pull fast ones on guys, and he usually gets a good laugh out of most of the dudes.
Two more questions. TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram. I don't have I do have TikTok. I don't remember last time I've been on TikTok, but I use Instagram pretty religiously, and whether it's reels or just sending DMs back and forth to guys, it's I'm typically on Instagram quite a bit.
TikTok just got banned today by the House of
Representatives. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So you made a good choice. Maybe you want to stay on Instagram. Exactly. And then finally, what's the best road meal or team dinner spot that you and the guys on the team love the most?
We've had one team away meal, I think, this year, and it was Maggiano's, and it was really good. But that
always
is
Maggiano's.
I know. And I would say at Culver, we would go, we'd do our Maryland spring break trip every year, and we would always eat at Sammy's, and that place is pretty unbelievable.
There you go. That's a good one. But everyone always says Maggiano's. That is like the team dinner spot nationwide.
Yeah.
Sam, I know. Thank you so much for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, and best of luck to you and the Orange this week and throughout the season.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Hi, welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast presented by Simplicity Group. Another good interview, Dix.
Sorry I missed it. Really impressive young man. Definitely making an impact for the Syracuse Orange. I'm sorry I missed it. My schedule did not allow me to partake in that interview, but you did a nice job. You did a nice job on your own.
Well, let's get to the games this weekend, the marquee matchups. There's six top 20 matchups, and we'll start with this Syracuse-Delaware game. Number six, Syracuse is 6-2 now. They'll take on the number 20 ranked Delaware Blue Hens, who are 3-2. This is at 2:00, be at Paul the Sixth in Chantilly, Virginia.
Okay, so this one, probably more important for Delaware. And the reason I say that is this is an opportunity before they enter conference play to get a quality out of conference victory. Their two best opportunities were against Penn and Michigan. They lost both of those games. Syracuse is their last best chance at that out of conference victory that could go a long way selection Sunday if they should falter in the CAA. Syracuse coming off of a huge victory over Johns Hopkins in Charlotte, North Carolina. There was a great crowd on hand for that event. And they've got a lot of confidence, you know, going into this game against Delaware. Neutral site should be a really entertaining game between two top 20 teams.
Also on Saturday at 1 o'clock, number 4 Duke, 7-1 after the win at Providence, will take on number 17 Richmond in Richmond. Spiders are 4-2. This game's at 1 o'clock. This is a big game.
It is. And Richmond, yeah, you got to tip your cap to the Spiders. They continue to play really quality out of conference opponents. Duke is no different. The Blue Devils have been clicking since that loss to Penn a couple of weeks ago. I got to see them in person. They beat Loyola this past weekend, 16-10. That game was 7-7 at the half. And Loyola was playing very good lacrosse. They were really competing at the faceoff dot. I think it was 9-7 at halftime in favor of Duke at the faceoff dot. And then Jake Naso just kind of took over in the second half and gave the Blue Devil offense more possessions. And when you have as many weapons as Duke does, they're going to do what they did to Loyola, and they just wore them down and left Baltimore with a victory. Richmond plastered Bucknell this past weekend. And Richmond is a team that is just quietly, you know, always in that bottom half of the top 20, but can compete really with anyone in that media poll for Inside Lacrosse. So this will be a really, really fun game. And I guess as we speak, temperatures in the Baltimore area expected to hit like high 70s, if not 80 today. It'll dip in the region over the weekend, when I say dip, down to like 63, 65, which isn't bad. But this time next week, my friend, it's looking like we're back in the 40s. This sucks, man. If it could just stay like this, man, we're in. I had some time yesterday, so I went to a high school game in the afternoon, and just great weather and great crowd. And that's what it's all about. You know, a week from now, we're going to be back in the hoodies and long johns and all that good stuff.
Well, a place where I definitely expect a big crowd this weekend is in New Haven, Connecticut, when the Ivy League season kicks off and Harvard plays Yale. Now, Harvard had one of the more interesting games of the week last week when they beat Michigan on the road in Ann Arbor, and it sets up a really fascinating game between two old rivals. When number 12 Harvard, who's still undefeated at 6-0, will take on Yale, it's number 10 at 1 o'clock.
So the Harvard-Michigan game this past weekend, I turned that on Big Ten Plus, and Harvard was dominating. I think when I turned it on, it was like 7 or 8-2 maybe, and it was late second quarter. So I did other things, and I don't know about you, man. I'm like just starting to come out of the funk of daylight savings. I don't know if it's my age or whatever, but my sleep has been messed up with that spring forward. My dietary habits have been messed up because everything is really, I don't know. Are you in that boat?
I'm not. I've heard other people talk about this, but weren't you just in Dallas for a whole week that has a 2-hour time difference?
But that was a couple of weeks ago and it wasn't daylight savings yet. Okay. And that was when you picked up time. So in other words, I think Denver is what, central? So it's an hour behind. You know what I mean? So when you wake up at 6:30, it's really 7:30 back home. You know what I mean? Not that I was getting up that late, but I'm just saying when you lose versus gain, that really screws me up.
Yeah. Daylight savings. I've had some other people say it, but it hasn't affected me. I'm actually super excited about it, especially because the same week that it happened, the weather got nice. So like being outside at 7 o'clock at night in the warm weather is awesome. And I'm all about it.
I'm with you. I love the longer days and more daylight. It's just I'm starting to come around. It's taken me 4 or 5 days to really kind of adjust. But now that I'm getting the swing of it, I'm digging it big time. But the reason I bring that up is because it made it really hard for me to watch the Sunday games. Princeton, Rutgers, Harvard, Michigan. Like there were games that had big leads by the victors early on. So like the combination of just being dog tired and then, the games not being super competitive. But this one this weekend will be a terrific game. You know, Harvard continues to get the job done, undefeated. They were unranked at the beginning of the season. Now they're in the top 20. And then this is a Yale team that went into Denver and outlasted the Pioneers, handing them their first loss of the season. And they've done this. I know I mentioned a couple weeks ago the loss of Leo Johnson, one of their best offensive players. They've also been playing, Yale has been playing without Chris Lyons, another one of their leading scorers. from a year ago. So the Eli continue to get the job done, minus two of their top point producers. That's a testament to, you know, the coaching and the development in New Haven. And this will be a great game. What a way to kick off the Ivy League slate. You know, really, there's only, what, seven teams, so there's no hiding from anybody.
Michigan will look to rebound from that loss to Harvard with their test at Notre Dame. It's the 18th-ranked Wolverines will take on the number 2-ranked Irish at 2 p.m., and you can catch that on the ACC Network.
Yeah, televised game. Should be exciting. Michigan, they're good. You know, this is a team that's had to adjust to a couple of graduations, a couple of transfers, but yet the Wolverines continue to play at a high level. I'll be at Michigan, not this weekend, but the following weekend for their Big Ten opener against Maryland, which, by the way, is already sold out at the Michigan lacrosse facility. So hats off to the Ann Arbor lacrosse fans. They're going to be out there in full force. It should be a great game. We'll have it for you on the Big Ten Network. Notre Dame, I mean, what else can you say? Defending national champions, got beat by Georgetown. They respond by knocking off Maryland, and they're still as balanced and as dangerous as any team in the country. You definitely want to you're going to want to make time to watch this game.
The other game you're going to really want to make time to watch is the game that you're doing.
Let's go.
The game
Bring
of
it
the
on.
Week.
What do you got?
Number 3 Virginia, 5-1 at number 5 Maryland. 5-1. 3:00 on the Big Ten Network.
What? Yeah. I'll be with Pete Medhurst this Saturday, and we're already being old men worried about the parking situation because you mentioned the basketball state championships are going to be there. Pete, finger on the pulse, the man covers every sport imaginable for Navy, has already identified the Maryland softball team is also at home. And he's like, and I don't know what the baseball team's doing, but they're at home too. So we're going to try to figure out our parking situation. But wow. Maryland, Virginia, you talk about, it's really arguably or definitively, Dad, the best rivalry in college lacrosse over the last 5 to 7 years. What do you think?
Super biased, but they have played some amazing games the last few years for sure.
97th all-time meeting. Maryland has won the last three.
Really?
The last Virginia win. When was the last Virginia win?
4 years ago? 3 years ago?
2021 National Championship game.
Yeah.
Was when Virginia beat the Terps by a goal. This will be a fantastic game. Ajax Zapatello versus Connor Schellenberg. Worth the price of admission, right?
Sure.
Maryland coming off of a surprising overtime win over Brown. I say surprising because the Bears came into that game winless and took Maryland to the limit, but Luke Wehrman didn't play in that game. He's a huge difference maker. Virginia, meanwhile, had a tough game against Towson this past weekend. The Tigers can put some points up on the board, but Peyton Cormier and the aforementioned Connor Schellenberger combined for close to 20 points in that game between the two of them. This will be a mega game, and I'm really, really proud, happy, fortunate to be able to broadcast this on Big Ten Network with Pete, 3:00 this Saturday at the University of Maryland. I haven't gotten confirmation yet, but I think we do have to shoot the game from Tizer Tower. For years, we at the Big Ten Network would shoot from the other side of the stadium to give a lower camera angle, more TV friendly, better for our fans and viewers. But University of Maryland does not want their logo upside down on TV. That's why they will make us, in all likelihood, shoot it from Tizer. So before you start crying and moaning and complaining on all the media outlets in lacrosse about the vantage point from the University of Maryland, there's your explanation.
There you have it. Well, regardless, upside down logo, right side logo, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to be a great game.
Doesn't matter.
It's going to be a great game. Game's going to be won on the field. It's not about the field. And finally, Dix, on Sunday, St. Paddy's Day, there's an awesome game. Again, the Ivy League opens up. They rearrange the schedule. So Harvard's playing Yale to start. Princeton and Cornell are playing. They usually play later in the season. And this has the number 15-ranked Cornell Big Red will travel to Princeton to play the 13th-ranked Tigers. 2:00. This game is on ESPNU, too, so you can catch this while you're drinking your green beer,
green beer, Irish
eating
coffee,
corned beef, and yeah.
So, what are you doing on St. Patrick's Day? You have plans?
I'm going to be watching this game. I don't have other
wow.
plans. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not going to. I was up there. I went to Rutgers to watch them play last week. I'll be watching this from home.
Okay,
I'm very excited about this one.
We're trying to figure out with friends. We're going to get together for lunch and drinks on Sunday. My wife and I, and my one buddy, the like the non-negotiable is we have to pick a place that has Reuben egg rolls. So we're searching for Reuben egg rolls.
Reuben
which
egg
isn't
rolls.
Reuben egg rolls. So corned beef.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds really good.
Is Reuben
sauerkraut?
Would be sauerkraut, right?
Yeah.
Not coleslaw. So I guess any deep fried something something with corned beef and sauerkraut and some kind of dipping sauce is what we're on the hunt for to pick the establishment.
Sounds delicious. And it's
yeah.
going to lead us into our give and go, but tell me about this game. Cornell
yeah.
at Princeton.
You're definitely keeping me on task. I'm all over the place today. I'll tell you, my internal clock
getting
is
hungry,
still
man.
Forever. Are you?
Yeah, we'll just talk about these egg rolls.
I just brought some I brought some bagels home from Staten Island. I went to the Wagner Carolina game on Tuesday and made sure I brought home some good New York bagels. Princeton, impressive win against Rutgers. You referenced you saw it in person last weekend in Piscataway. And Cornell, wow, 20-9 loss to Penn State. And I know we're not covering Penn State this weekend, but you want to talk about a team, it looks like they figured it out. They're getting their act together. You know, they could compete for the Ivy League championship after knocking off Yale and Cornell.
That was a shocking result to me, the how big Penn State won that game.
Me too. Me too. I was surprised at the distance between the Nittany Lions and the Big Red, the final in that game. But you know Cornell's going to be focused. You know they're going to be hungry and ready to go. So this will be a terrific St. Patrick's Day matchup, again, to kick off the Ivy League season.
All right,
Ivy
Dix.
League portion of the schedule.
Yeah, great games all around. Like I said, six top 20 matchups, lots of them on broadcast TV. Get to out to a game. The weather's going to be nice, but catch it on TV. Tape it. Watch it later.
That's right.
All right. You got me thinking about food and holiday food, and I think that's a perfect setup for this week's give and go. Again, thanks to our presenting sponsor, the Simplicity Group. Dick's one of my favorite holidays. St. Patrick's Day is this Sunday. And there's food associated with many holidays, right? And I want to talk about the ones that are the best. I think people think about Thanksgiving first, right? Thanksgiving is the big food
there's
holiday.
There's been a lot of backlash, I feel, over the last few years with the proliferation of social media. A lot of hate toward turkey on Thanksgiving.
Unfounded.
I agree. I agree.
But I want to rank, we'll do this together instead of a back and forth. We'll rank the best food holidays, right? So let me just run you by some. So we talked about St. Patrick's Day. I look forward to it. And every time when I make corned beef, cabbage, potatoes, carrots, and stuff, I always like, why don't I do this more often? It's actually pretty inexpensive to make. It's pretty simple. It takes a while to get your brisket the way you want it.
That's probably why you don't do it on the menu.
But it's simple. You just literally throw it all in a pot, boil it, and it comes out perfect. So you got St. Patrick's Day, got Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. That time of year is great with the cookies and the eggnog and the sort of that wintertime feast food. Plus you got your Christmas dinner. It might be, could be a beef tenderloin or something special that your family might do. Cinco de Mayo. Don't forget about Cinco de Mayo. Margaritas,
low
Mexican
key,
fare.
Low key
yeah.
Tortillas.
Tacos, as my dad would call them. Easter, ham, duck. I don't know what we usually do, a ham on Easter. Halloween. Bennett Flynn wanted me to add this. He's a candy monster, you know. Got to have the candy there. July 4th, Memorial Day, barbecue.
Yeah.
Burgers, hot dogs, pulled pork, ribs, you know. New Year's Day, pork, sauerkraut, traditional food, lentils, black-eyed peas, collard greens, whatever it is that you use for your luck. Some people have dumplings, whatever it might be. Let's rank these. I'll let you start. We'll do this together, but we got to start with Thanksgiving, right? That's the ultimate food holiday.
I think everything that you just mentioned, it's seasonal. In other words, on 4th of July, burgers, hot dogs. I know that's a holiday where I'm going to get some deviled eggs, ooh, which are unique oftentimes because they're, I guess they're a challenge to make. I've never made them. But in other words, you're not going to have turkey stuffing cranberry on 4th of July, just the same as you're not going to have burgers and dogs and brats on Thanksgiving. So I think it's all seasonal. To me, the worst holiday food, Easter. I'm not a ham person. I don't like ham. I associate it with like ham, like a au gratin potatoes or a scalloped potato, green beans. I don't know. And then dessert is typically like, I had one of my aunts when I was growing up made an ambrosia salad, which isn't bad,
Jello?
As a kid, but as an adult, you're kind of like, ugh.
What is in that?
It's like, I know it's like marshmallow and fruit and light but creamy and sweet type of dessert.
Ambrosia makes it sound like it's going to be something really good. That doesn't sound good.
And I mean, it's not bad, but as an adult, you're just kind of like, eh. And then, other members of my family would make the Jell-O mold, but it would be green and it would be like that creamy something. It wasn't like regular Jell-O. It's like a creamy kind of thing with like cherries and pineapples in it and stuff. And sometimes carrots, which is gnarly.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You never had a Jell-O mold like around at Easter time with like shredded carrot?
I haven't, but all I can think about is The Office where Jim Halpert would put Dwight's stapler in a Jell-O mold or other office supplies. No,
yeah,
I don't.
We never tried that one at the Dixon Easter.
Oh, Jell-O.
That to me, that's like a distant, like dead last cuisine. But I would probably have to go Thanksgiving, 4th of July, because even Memorial Day, sometimes it can be warm. Sometimes it would get warm, sometimes it'd be cold. So you might not do the outdoor stuff. And typically I'm, working doing the national championships on the radio. But so I would go like Thanksgiving, 4th of July. Christmas is always, and it depends on who you speak with, because for a lot of people, Christmas Eve dinner is a lot bigger deal than Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo, I mean, get a Mexican food anytime you want. You can go to your local joint and get a margarita.
Yeah, but celebrating it is the best.
Well,
part.
Wait a minute. No, I mean, you got to put St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. St. Patrick's Day's got to be like top three.
You mentioned the ease of a corned beef brisket, but you still have to broil it, which means you have to put a stove on, which means you've got to have some type of supervision with the flame or, your appliance. It's not like a crock pot where you could just put whatever you're having in it, plug it in, turn it on, and boom, you can go to work. You can
cook it in a crock pot.
You can cook. Well, you just said boil. You can't boil.
Well, you're going to slow cook it in water.
All right. Well, so would you slow cook it or broil it in a crock pot with water?
You could. What I'm going to use is my my Dutch oven, my whatever, like a big thing.
I'm so true. When you say the word Dutch oven, stop.
My Le Creuset. I'm going to put that on a stove and boil it. And then you do have to pay attention to it. You cook the meat for about an hour and a half or something like that. And then you start putting in the potatoes.
Yeah.
And then you put in the carrots. And then you put the cabbage in last. You put the cabbage in last. It's bangers and mash on the side. Got me really. I'm excited. I'm excited for Sunday. So I'm going to sit around on Sunday and cook and eat and watch these games.
But is St. Patrick's Day a lot like Halloween? And Halloween is normally associated with chili, in addition to the candy, but like a chili or something. But I feel like when Halloween is over, it is over. Because then you go to Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving has just become a speed bump, really, for Christmas in terms of retail and shopping and that kind of thing. But what I'm saying is, like, once St. Patrick's Day is over, like on March 18th, will we even be thinking about corned beef and cabbage and green beer and stuff like that?
No.
So I feel like it's a very, it comes and it grabs you, but then it's like, when you, I can never forget in the late 90s, I bought a Howard Stern mask. And it was like 30, 35 bucks, which was a lot of money for me because I didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like the day after Thanksgiving, I'm like, why? Or I'm sorry, day after Halloween, I'm like, why did I buy this again? Because like the thrill is gone. But I still have it. I still put it on every now and again. Can't breathe in the thing, but it's still pretty funny. So anyway, if a ranking, I'd go Thanksgiving, 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day.
Put St. Patrick's Day up a little higher. I'm going to go Thanksgiving, okay. St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, because they're kind of the same. And then I'll put New Year's, the New Year's food. I like the New Year's Day food.
I typically don't do a lot of New Year's food because that's when you're like, you know, your body's been polluted from the holidays, especially that week in between Christmas and New Year's. You know, like New Year's Eve is typically hard because, I don't know, you're just like kind of bloated. And then
you're up late.
And you want to flip the calendar and be like, okay, now it's time to, you know, get back into shape or whatever. That's why like dry January has become so popular amongst people.
Yeah. That seems like a good place to stop. Big thanks to our guest, Sam English. Best of luck to you and your Syracuse team this week and throughout the season. A reminder that the D-Fly and Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. Be here all season. If you like what you heard, please like us. Your favorite podcast app, leave a review, tell a friend, share the love. It's free. We always love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dflyanddixie. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Get out, see some games. Enjoy this nice spring weather and daylight savings time. And as always, enjoy the games.